The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 472. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Joining us once again after a little bit of a hiatus, Mr. Adam Vail.
How you doing? How you doing? Green for life, right? Everybody, green for life. Just like Anapa's green.
Oh, man. Brett Murdoch.
What up, people?
Brian Manjoma.
How does Ubisoft make a AliExpress version of their own game?
They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
For this very special occasion, you're joined by popular request, by the way. As soon as the whole thing started, you gotta have RBJ on. Gotta have RBJ on. Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
Only four games.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but should we buy them, though?
You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna tell you guys in the chat right now, I don't even have any show notes tonight because you know what we're going to talk about for pretty much this entire episode. So it'll be interesting. Also, what's up?
Did you guys, I mean, when I heard that they were going to make this big announcement, right? He was like, everybody's going nuts. And they were like, oh, Phil's like, all right, listen, don't worry. We got an announcement. I was thinking bigger picture. I was thinking, shit, maybe they're going to do some kind of partnership with Sony to cross share older titles. Because remember, the FTC started looking at Sony for the whole Spider-Man shit. Like, hey, well, you're not so clean either with your exclusives. So I thought maybe they're like, hey, how about this? You know, you give us some old shit. We give you some old shit. This gets the government off our backs. And then we just do business like we normally do. We handle it within house. But no,
that
wasn't good.
But yeah, also before we start, if you guys are checking us out live right now, or you know, if you're listening later on, please stick around to the end of the episode because we got some very important announcements to make regarding Throwdown. So you don't want to miss that. But yeah, let's get into it. Anyway, just some context. You guys, you know, who've been listening to us already know, for the past almost 2 weeks now, the Xbox community on Twitter specifically has been in hysteria ever since rumors and reports started coming out that Xbox exclusives would be coming to other platforms. To be specific, PlayStation and Switch. This actually all started back in January with rumors about Hi-Fi Rush potentially coming to the Switch. And as soon as these rumors started coming out, I originally it was from unsubstantiated sources, like some fucking YouTubers or whatever, some Twitter guys. I was like, don't even listen to these guys. But then when like credible people like Tom Warren start talking about it, it's like, okay, well, maybe we should pay attention to this. And now, and then a couple of days after that, you know, once the fucking hysteria started going on, dudes say, oh, we're betrayed by Xbox, all this other shit. Uncle Phil came on Twitter saying, we got a very special Xbox management business announcement, whatever, coming at you next week. Stay tuned. Dude just kept going. Some started already backtracking because they kind of saw how insane. Adam, I don't know. I obviously didn't see this. Dudes were literally doing 7 to 12 hour Twitter spaces just crying about this shit.
Oh, rumors.
Nothing was official.
I had some of my buddies that on Xbox were just sending me messages. They don't keep up with too much, but they were hearing it. And they were like, yo, I'm playing some Call of Duty, and the dudes in the chat are going nuts. I said, what's this about? They're getting rid of all their games. What's this about? And I'm like, it's all bullshit. Because the one thing I figured is, remember, this all started coming out once they did those layoffs. Right.
Yeah,
so when they were like, oh, credible source. And then it was like, well, it sounds like it's a lot of people that, you know, could be credible, that people that work, they got laid off. Now they're bitter and they got some shit to say. But when I start seeing stuff about, oh, they're bringing Gears over, they're doing Crackdown Remastered, they're going to bring Crackdown 2. I was like, now you guys are just throwing shit out there to get people riled up. It's not going to be like that. There's no way. There's no way they spend all this money and then put all this time and then say, you know what? Fuck it. We're not. Let's just go Sega. Let's just get rid of all this shit. Fuck it. They're not. It's not going to happen.
That's what we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what they're saying. I'm like, oh, they're going around Sega. I was like, no, because people also forgot that just what last month I remember they were talking about another gen console. Remember that they were going to skip a gen, that they were going to go above the next and make some new console and all that stuff. How do you just scrap all that because of what? Because somebody heard something? No, we need some proof, and there's no way. And then that's why I thought there'd just be more of a maybe we're going to hear of a partnership when they said we're going to do a special announcement, this and this and that. But no, it was just to clear the air and all this. But. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because there was so nuts, much man. Hysteria, they had to clear the air, you know? And there was, I mean, we'll probably go over some of these things, but let's specifically talk about what we heard today. It was a 22-minute podcast. It wasn't live. It was just posted at 3 p.m. I think tomorrow morning, because I wrote a pretty big editorial about this, and the editorial was like, Don't worry, Xbox fans. Your games ain't going nowhere. You know, just the people down slash make fun of the Xbox. But so let's talk about the announcements. So, yes, some Xbox exclusives actually are coming to other systems. Four games specifically, they didn't name the games, although we could make educated guesses here. They said two games will be like live service games, and then two games will be smaller ones. So based off everything, everything,
and all four old, a year old.
Yes, all games are over a year old. Two service games, two smaller games. So Tom Warren talked about this. So I kind of agree with assessment. The two service games will be Sea of Thieves and Grounded, and then the two smaller games will be Hi-Fi Rush and Pentiment. Which makes sense, you know? Go ahead.
I would agree, especially for those live service games. Like, both of those are, like, not new. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much they're on the back end of their popularity. So pushing them out to a wider audience is smart.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, I agree. So the one thing, so, like, you know, a lot of the stuff they were talking about, like, you know, they're essentially making a lot, you know, reiterating their mission statements, the sort of no gamer left anywhere, playing anywhere, whatever, stuff like that.
Man, how many times didn't they say that during the fucking 20 podcast? Like, Jesus.
Yeah, like they sort of like looped around themselves multiple times because officially there was a lot of nothing said, but you only really learned a few things, really just again, it's more of a thing to sort of clear the air, but at the same time, it's like they're talking about. Like a cross progression, and you know, platform you can play Xbox on. You know what I was thinking about that cross progression thing, right? So, okay, obviously, you know,
your save file carries over if you're playing on PC.
Now, okay, would this also be something that would be available to those games that they're going to be putting onto other platforms?
Yeah, so, doesn't it work say, for my?
No. That's just assuming. But
no, that the one that's right there, Minecraft. Can't people? Because I think you sign in on your Xbox on the PlayStation. You have to sign in still with your Xbox account. So I'm assuming anybody here play Minecraft or in the chat that play Minecraft on PlayStation. Because I know you still have to sign in. Because I remember that was the thing. People were like, oh, I'm signing into my Xbox. You have to create an Xbox account to play Minecraft on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. So I'm just. If anybody knows, but if you have to sign in, I'm assuming then it'll see your save file.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We should probably try to verify that.
Let me look that up.
Yeah, I got the internet. And also during this segment of the show, they specifically said that Starfield and Indiana Jones are not coming to other platforms. Mm-hmm. They are Xbox exclusives. So that's what they said. So that was a little bit of little bit of a nothing burger, you know. But they said they want the studios themselves to make the announcement. So I could respect that. You know, let the studios do their thing.
By the way, Apollo?
Apollo Neon X.
Neon X, there you go.
Yeah.
He says on Switch, you had to sign into the Xbox account for Minecraft.
Okay, so that means that sounds like that it's in that it's in place there. That you can, if you have an Xbox account, you can bring over, you know, if let's say you have a Grounded thing or you have a Sea of Thieves thing, or if you have a Hi-Fi Rush save, it'll all probably go right over. That's not bad.
Yeah. So anything you guys want? Rich, what are your thoughts about these four games, man?
Well, let me say this. While I respect Phil saying we're going to let the studios announce the four games, I mean, there's already information out there about some of these games, such as Hi-Fi Rush. We've been hearing that rumor for the longest time. So I don't know how soon they're going to make that announcement, but I think that could have definitely happened today.
Rich, did Nintendo, because I heard something that Nintendo's doing a direct of third parties, and that's what they want to announce some stuff, and I think that's what they were talking about, that they want to announce that Hi-Fi Rush stuff. So maybe that's what it is, and like, don't want to step on Nintendo's toes, because they're like, you're killing our buzz. We got a show coming soon.
Yeah, Adam, earlier this week, because we learned about both of them, so people were like, oh, shit, is Nintendo going to announce it? And then we're like, wait, when is Xbox going to do theirs before Nintendo? So it seems that Nintendo is going to do theirs after the fact. And yeah, maybe we'll hear about Hi-Fi Rush then. It makes sense, you know?
None of that. And this was also a reminder when we were covering that court case and how nobody was really following it. This was stuff that was brought up in the court case. Like, this is still right now. The FTC is still fighting Microsoft on this shit. Yeah. And it's like this. They kept saying, no, we are going to bring other games over. You got it, school. Yeah, we have some, but we're going to bring other games to other. Remember, people, they forget. Remember, we knew that they signed that 10-year deal with Nintendo to pour over some first party games. Remember that was mentioned. So there you go. Why are people surprised? They're like, oh, I can't believe they're doing it. I got a fart now. Yeah, no, they stop queefing. Listen, we knew this was gonna happen. They said it was gonna happen. You know, it's like, what are you surprised? Yeah, it's like, all right, with the baffled part, how dare they get on a PlayStation? They got games on there now. You know, we know Call of Duty is still going to be on there. We know Skyrim, at least the old ones are still there. They didn't pull them. Fallout stuff, they're still there. So, I mean, people just got to relax. And then I think others were just throwing fuel by throwing all the bullshit of all the big games. Halo, Master Chief's going to be there with a blue hat. It was like, shit, nope. People on Xbox don't even want Halo. Well, why wouldn't people on PlayStation?
that would have been interesting if they would have announced it, because Halo is one of their live service games that has not been performing as well. So, you know, if you wanted to get a shot at it, Halo on PlayStation.
Oh, no.
I don't know. I don't know.
Man, that would have been a something burger, you know?
So they can show the low sales on that console too? No. That would be a smack in the face.
Master Chief Collection, maybe?
Yeah, go ahead, Rich.
Well, here's a question. Will Craig look better graphically on PlayStation than on Xbox?
Oh, man. He'll look exactly the same.
He'll have better ray tracing.
Only if they let Naughty Dog jump in and fix all that shit up before it launches then. But,
you know, they call it a remake.
Halo Infinite Remastered by Naughty Dog.
Halo Infinite Remake.
Naughty Dog Edition, the butter version. Yeah. We fixed it. You broke it. We fixed it.
Fucking Master Chief's gonna get killed by Abby with the fucking club. Right?
They did amazing. Right, going to cave. You see like other those creatures coming out, biting everybody. Oh, that'd be awesome. Oh, get the Days Gone dude riding on a motorcycle. Just throw everybody in it. Just throw everybody.
Just reuse Last of Us assets and just call it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Yeah, so Phil said that these four games coming are not a promise that other Xbox games will come. Now, that's been kind of the thing that the hardcore guys that have been saying, like, oh, all the games are coming. They're like, see, this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. He's lying, you know? But to their defense, though, think about it like this, right? Phil Spencer once said that not all Xbox games would come to PC. A year later, all the Xbox games came to PC. So you never know. So I'll give them that. But right now, it's only these four games. Obviously, that could change. I'm not trying to make any definitive statements here, but that's what the company has said for the moment.
Anything I think they're going to go based off of sales. That's pretty much what it always comes down to. If they see the games are selling well on there, they're like, all right, then we can make some money here. If it's collecting dust and just people cracking jokes about how booty they are, they're like, oh, you know what? Let's just not bring some of these games over.
I feel like this is a lot like Sony's strategy, where they, after a year or two, you know, after the, you know, a lot of their first parties sort of, you know, lose that luster. You know, they're not making that much money that on those titles, that it gives it an extra shot in the arm, you know,
yeah,
for people that are interested. So I feel like that's what this sort of thing is. It's like maybe they feel that some players might like these specific titles that they choose. Like maybe players on other platforms might enjoy these titles. So I mean, again, I didn't see an issue with this when PlayStation was doing. I don't see really an issue with it with Xbox, essentially, you know, just choosing stuff here and there to put over on the other
one. Yeah. One thing that's kind of interesting, Phil Spencer said that he believes that within the next 5 to 10 years that exclusivity will be less important in the gaming industry. Very interesting. But I understand where he's coming from. Like Xbox is obviously putting their games on, you know, PC, mobile. They even said we want Xbox on as many screens as possible. And as we're going to talk about later, even Sony, they're like, hey, we're trying to get games on a bunch of different places too.
Exactly. Yeah. Sony is putting all of their live service games into third-party systems. Mm-hmm. But Sony Hell is not divers. Putting their exactly, but Sony yeah. isn't putting their streamlined third-person narrative games on those exclusive on those multi-platforms.
Yet.
But they're not but to be fair to Sony, they're not even putting them at all.
Well, they are. Horizon's on PC. You know, Uncharted's on PC. Death Stranding's on PC.
Hold on. Carlos, do you want me to pull up that infographic that says these games are only on PlayStation and then cross out all the ones that are out on PC?
No. Well, you guys didn't get my joke.
That.
Yeah. I think he's saying
Brian's right. Brian's right.
No. Well, hold your horses, Brian. I'll explain the joke. I know it was a bad joke. You have to explain it. Sony isn't putting out any games right now, so the good thing is they're not releasing any of those games
at the moment. We fucked up the joke.
You had to do it in a Spanglish accent for us to understand.
Mira,
let me tell you something, okay? So you take this game, right? You put it like...
Sound like someone from West Side Story.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good movie. Wait,
quick off-topic thing. I think the older I get, like the more like Hispanics just start talking to me in Spanish. Before they would think I just, you know, I'm white and shit. Now they just, hey, mira, del Emilio. You know, like, oh shit, just in the street, you know? Anyway, we're going to talk about Sony later. A very interesting situation going on there. But yeah, so I understand where he's coming from with the whole exclusivity is becoming less relevant. I'm not, you know what, Brian,
I'm not sold on that. All right, go ahead,
Brian first, and then you go, Adam. Go ahead, Adam. Brian.
Again, I'm mostly with you guys. The whole thing I just thought was not gonna be a big deal. It turns out it's not that exciting either way. It's a couple of games that for the most part people don't say that people don't play anymore, but people it's not in the zeitgeist anymore and left.
They've run whatever course that they were going to run, at least on the Xbox.
They have run aground, I guess.
They run aground.
Yeah.
So, they've been grounded.
Yeah, that's another one. So, yeah, it's just kind of like, okay, it's a thing, you know. I've always been an advocate for saying that all games should be on all platforms because I think that will make things a lot more interesting rather than where we are now. So to me, this is like, okay, another step in that direction. So that's fine by me. I welcome it. Let's see.
Yeah.
And the whole thing with exclusivity, I totally understand where Phil's going with them saying that because, again, it's like on the same day Sony announces that they have nothing. So it's like, it's hard to say no to that when, like, the competitor is saying that, hey, we got nothing. And then also, like, we've entered the second half of the PS5 lifespan. And I was like, how have we done that?
We're going to talk about that. Adam, what are you going to say about the exclusivity thing?
I was going to say, he might be right on that. It's because, all right, for example, what we've seen so far, and this is like with sports and other things, when people get hooked on something, then they stick with it. They're like, this is my team. That's my home team. This is my brand. So that fear that I think Sony has, at least still, that, well, no, this is where you get the games. That's fine for you. But if they're older games, you just like you're open with the PC, you should be open to dumping on other platforms to make that money because people are not going to jump ship to play an older game. when you already have the newer ones. You know what I mean? It's like they're not going to flip, especially Sony. Sony's established. I don't see it, Microsoft can have a string of butter games coming out, and still, I don't see people saying, well, let me kick my shit to the curb. I'm going to Xbox all day long. No, it's not going to happen. And I'm thinking as time goes on, and then they start seeing that one of the things that Phil brought up is that growth, right? There's no growth in the console space. And we know this. We see it with PC. We see it with the handhelds, other things, but especially with cell phones. That's why they keep trying to get in that market. But for consoles, it's they're playing with all the same people on one side and all the same people on the other side. We're not seeing a big fluctuation. What's going on here? So, yeah, go ahead. Throw some games on this. Throw some games on that and see what happens. Sell some more units, because it's all about software sales at the end of the day, and try to make some money. You can have your exclusives, just throw your older ones, try to, like we talked about, bring new life, you know.
I mean, one thing I could see this sort of doing, where in other words they have like a limited, like almost like a weird limited time exclusive like idea, where in other words, like, not only is it like certain games that are somewhat limitedly locked down to a console, but also, you know, those exclusives essentially just migrating to the other side. I mean, I would say this, especially for something like for Microsoft's service, you know, I've said this before, even Warner Brothers is doing this. They're shedding a lot. They're pulling a lot of their titles, or shedding a lot of their titles, and or putting them onto other platforms after the, you know, after after they're hot, right? So in other words, Aquaman, you know, all of the all of the DCEU game of things moved over to Netflix at some point.
Oh yeah, the movies.
You know, eventually Aquaman 2 is gonna move over there once it's run its course. I think the thing about it is that, like, once these things sort of run their course, they'll essentially sell the license to another platform. Like, hey, you can put it out there too, so we can make a little bit of extra off of this.
Yeah, I think that's what's happening for sure.
Yeah. You know, it's all about the ecosystem. And, you know, PlayStation has a huge ecosystem. There's millions and millions of people, and they're going to stay there because of their friends. So whether some old games pop up on, quote-unquote, a competitor, no one gives a shit. They're going to still stick with what they got. So it just helps to sell units on the other platform that don't have that game, that never got into a PlayStation. Like, oh, shit, I'll play this. Sony still wins. They still make some money. Because I'm sure they're not going to throw it on Game Pass. And they're like, nah, you pay $70 for that, you know, 2016 God of War. That's right. And people, they'll do it. They'll pay for it.
A couple other things I want to bring up. So the other day I was reading about Xbox Game Pass and how, you know, for a while it was doing really, really well. It was like swelling, doing great. But it stalled, right? And at that point, because, you know, Xbox didn't give out any definitive numbers. They guessed, this was an analyst guessed that Xbox had 33 million subscribers. Today we learned officially 34 million. So the analyst wasn't far off. So they currently have 34 million subscribers overall, not just like the top tier or whatever, just across the board, you know, which is kind of interesting. But apparently that's a number that's kind of stalled. It's been at that number for a bit. Mm-hmm. So they're not losing subscribers, but they're not really gaining anything.
But I mean, again, like, it makes perfect sense because they haven't released anything to attract people yet.
They haven't even put the Activision games. Throw in some of those long lasting, like Call of Duty and all that stuff.
That was kind of part of the announcement, right?
Besides, did they give? I didn't hear anything else besides the Diablo. Did they say that?
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
No. Because Diablo was literally the next thing I was talking about. Because that's going to be, Adam, the first of the Activision Blizzard game that's going to be on Xbox Game Pass. This ties it in with the subscribers. Sarah Bond said that game's going to be available to all Xbox Game Pass subscribers. Not true. It's only going to be available to like whoever is subscribed to the top tier version. I believe that's
Ultimate. It's going to be on PC one too, right? Because that's all PC gamers.
So I think it's everyone except for Game Pass core members. Game Pass core members cannot play the game.
former Xbox Live members.
Yeah, nobody talks about them. No, yeah.
They're in the ghetto.
Put on the shit.
It's like in the Jetsons, you know, they all live up top. What about the people? We don't talk about the people on the surface.
Motherfuckers in the South Bronx, you know, we don't talk about
they're
them.
They're fucked in the cloud. We don't talk about that shit. We're living good.
Yeah, so Diablo is coming March 28th to Xbox.
But they didn't give, like, I was hoping they would give, like, a timeline. Like, all right, this month here, and get ready. Next month, we'll announce something else.
They didn't say that.
They didn't do that.
They're not good with sticking with roadmaps.
You know?
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, Rich, go ahead.
I agree 100% that it would have been good to get a timetable, but in my opinion, some of that stuff should have been released today. So that you would give the fans something to they could play right now. Subscribe right now.
Yeah. Tony Hawk or you know, something like that.
I agree.
Yeah. Another thing I want to talk about. So basically they brought up the fact that obviously we've had a lot of layoffs in the industry for many, many months now. And Xbox division specifically had like 1,900 layoffs just last month. And Phil Spencer said that one of the reasons they decided to go multi-plat is because of all the layoffs, which are very interesting, you know?
In an attempt to try to keep people around.
Maybe make up for any money potentially lost.
AKA those service games are not making any money, and we're about to cut all of them, so let's see if we can get it on that platform that has, you know, X amount of millions of people. Maybe that will bring some money. So these studios can stay open. If not, that's it. No more Grounded. No more Sea of Thieves.
Yeah. Oh, hold on real quick. Let me see if I say this name right. Choppy Watton. He goes, greetings from Chile. What's going on, man? ¿Qué pasa?
There we go. Chile.
Yeah, you know, bienvenido, man. Let's go. You know? Good shit.
The Chileans always add po at the end of every word.
From what
I understand.
But, you know. Welcome, sir. Good stuff. But
shout out to them.
Yeah, man. You know we got fans all around the world, man. You know,
Rainbow Coalition of
the Rainbow Coalition. That rainbow meat may mean something different nowadays.
It got double meanings now. Yeah,
no. We're not gonna get into that. Anyway, they said that was part of the layoffs were kind of influenced the multiplat thing. Other thing that I want to talk about that they brought up during the show, hardware, you know, because some of the fears was that the Xbox Series X would be the final Xbox. No more Xbox after that. I found that silly because literally during the whole Activision trial thing, remember, they showed it. There's another Xbox coming. So I'm like, that wasn't a rumor.
That's what I'm saying.
It was official, you know?
It's just so more proof people didn't pay attention to that shit because all the juicy news like this, the new console and game deals and big contracts. We're like, this is big news and nobody was paying attention.
Yeah.
Nobody was paying attention.
Yeah. We obviously talked about it. You're right.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah.
To be fair, companies, especially in downturn, can pivot like pretty hard on certain things. I mean, Just ask Stadia customers where that went. You know, you can pivot hard. You can have a whole infrastructure set up and set up all this stuff and have plans laid out, which, you know, will come out in discovery and like the Activision trial and stuff. But that we don't know how old that information was that had to be presented, right? But, at the end of the day, and we always say this, right? Microsoft's a global company. Phil Spencer doesn't call all the shots, right? Nadella calls all the shots. So if he says the Series X is the end of the line, then it's the end of the line, right? Nobody can do anything about it. That's not the case, though, which, you know, that's good. But, you know, to be fair to people, I can understand their fears because I had the same fear. And I know companies, even as monolithic as they are, they can pivot on a dime on certain things. They go, all right, we're going to cut manufacturing on this, whatever. We need to really cut costs. And cost cutting, like manufacturing, is a big cost. So they could easily cut that. It doesn't matter what a court document says. Plans change.
They need to cut that Series S. That's what they need.
They
need to cut or do some. Because remember, they released a black one with like 1 terabyte. I'm like, it's still garbage, though. It still can't do everything. Fix this shit And then do something with it. But if it can't do it, then just drop it. Because it's always going to be, you know, the bastard child.
It's a dead weight.
Why'd you get that? Especially now when you saw some of these deals. The Series X is not that far off from that price. It dropped in price. I started seeing it for like $350 and stuff in some outlets. Target and stuff had these sales. So I'm like, yeah, you can go and get one now for a good, you know, cheap amount close to the Series S. So why even get the S?
Yeah. So here's something Sarah Bond said, you know, regarding the new console, the upcoming console. What we're really, we're also invested in the next generation roadmap. What we're really focused on there is delivering the largest technical leap you'll ever have seen in a hardware generation. We've heard that kind of rhetoric before.
Well, that's what they were talking about that console.
Remember Edie's Monsters for breakfast, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. But wasn't that what they were saying? But that's why when people before just said, oh, they're not going to make a hardware. This is what they brought up, that they were going to like skip like the progression. Like the next system is going to be like above and beyond, so that way it can stay out there for X amount of years. Who knows if that'll happen, like you said. But yeah, I've heard it before, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah. From the Activision thing, we learned that the console, at least the plan is to release it in 2028, you know, the follow-up to Xbox, which is kind of interesting, but kind of makes sense if you go by like a 7-year life cycle, which is what these consoles have had for two generations now, you know, PS3 and PS4, but we're both 7 years. And that also ties into what we're going to talk about Sony with the latter half comment. So there's that. And then the other thing is, okay, so there's been rumors. There's always rumors about stuff, but rumors have been circulating that Xbox is going to release their own gaming handheld, right? We may have gotten a hint of that officially here. Sarah Bond also said, we got more to come. There's some exciting stuff coming out in hardware that we're going to share this holiday. So we may hear something this holiday regarding this. And then in an interview with Tom Warren, Tom Warren asked him specifically, what's up with handhelds, you know? And Phil Spencer said, you know, he likes the handhelds that are out now. He thinks they're really cool. Matter of fact, he's even apparently liked a bunch of tweets talking about people being excited about an Xbox handheld. And then this is the part that excites me. He specifically said Windows 11 doesn't work very well on handhelds, and Microsoft is actively trying to find a solution to this. That gets me excited. Yeah.
That was it. That's what we said. They need a good OS for handhelds. They don't have to make their own handheld. They just need to make an OS that we could all boot on our Steam Decks and whatever, Legions. That's what we need.
I was going to make an X-Deck joke.
I thought you were going to make a Windows 8 joke.
I'll make a Windows 95 joke.
Damn, Chris. You saw that porno too, Chris? Oh, shit. X-Deck? Oh.
No, we don't talk about that.
What kind of freaky shit y'all into, man?
Whatever happens in the happy place stays in the happy place.
Yeah, exactly, right? Uncut edition. God damn. On Patreon.
But yeah, again, this part is obviously just speculation, right? But the fact that he's talking about this, pretty fucking exciting, because if let's say this Xbox console comes out, handheld comes out, and it Windows 11 works great on that system, that means that, you know, the Lenovo Legion Go, fucking Asus ROG Ally, MSI Claw, and Adam, I haven't heard of this, Acer may be doing their own thing. Right? Oh man, it would be so good, you know? And then two things that I want from that. Obviously, give Steam Deck some hard, you know, some competition, and even better, because right now, PS Portal, that's a toe dip. We've said that from the jump, that's a toe dip. Maybe it'll spur Sony on to release a proper handheld, because we've heard rumors about that apparently they're working on something that may be able to run PS4 games natively, you know? And I'm like, okay, with all these systems coming out right now, all these handhelds, this is the perfect time for Sony to jump back in, you know? So it'll be good. If we have all these handhelds, real handhelds, not talking about the fucking Switch Pro, I'm talking about real handhelds. Oh, man. Give me that shit.
I'm ready. And here's just to show another little piece of love that Microsoft is giving, at least toward the Steam, because, you know, it's a love-hate relationship with Valve with all the problems and shit. But they put their games on there, because at one point they had their own garbage service. They were trying to compete, didn't last. So they started dumping them on there. But when it comes to Steam Deck, they were all listed. A lot of them pretty much were all unsupported, but they would work. Now they push to get them verified. So the Halo Master Chief Collection, that's verified. Gears 5, that's verified. You know, so they're getting these games to work on the Steam Deck because they that's another market right there. They know people will probably buy the game just to play it on that device. So I hope they just stick with that and they do create, because he's not dumped. Phil, he's out there. He's on the internet. He's seeing all the reviews of when people start talking about Legion going, what's the main issue? They're like, shit, once you get into this window interface, look at these little menus. Look how this works. It's not streamlined. It's not properly integrated. It's not optimized right. This is just Windows.
My main issue with all these systems. You know,
so I'm sure he hears it. I was like, shit, if that's the only thing, all right, let's hit up our engineers. I'm like, yo, put this in this box here. Here's these freaking little handhelds. Make something that works perfect for this. We know they can do it. They've done it on the surfaces, and I hated this version of Windows, but it has that interface, and that's Windows 8. Windows 8 had the blocks, remember? It had the tile system. That looked like shit on a computer. It was horrible. But if you were to throw those blocks and stuff like that on a handheld, that might actually work. You know, you click a block.
Look good on tablets,
you
to be fair.
That's what I'm saying. It looked good on tablets. That's what I'm saying. It's like, work on that. Add some more power to Macs or hardware. And yeah, you could have an amazing device.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, real quick, just a little bit of a side tangent. I remember the first E3 Manny and I went to, right? This guy sitting right in our row, you know, with us, because, you know, they had three seats. This dude pulls out a Surface tablet. That was when they first came out. Turned out he was a Microsoft, like, employee and shit. So, you know, because we saw he was working, like, yo, are those E3 documents? You know, and then we started talking to him. Cool guy, you know, but.
Yeah, so we started to take a picture with your phone. You're like, oh, let me see. Could you turn your screen a little bit my way? All right, nice.
Because we're looking like, hold up, those are fucking Microsoft documents. And he's doing all that on the tablet, you know? It was fucking dope.
This shit, we're Assassin's Creed. I leaked that, and I'm going to leak your shit.
Oh, man. So, yeah, hardware, that's coming. Because, again, remember, a lot of people are worried. Oh, no more Xboxes. Done. You know?
The other issue is if they were to do something like that, that's really giving a lot of power to all the other third parties for hardware. That's giving power to Valve with their Steam. Remember, and I don't know if you heard about this, but Valve said that they're making a living room console.
No, they're making
another piece. Yeah, another it's on their website.
Trying it again.
Yeah, but they're trying it again. Steam but I think machines. They're gonna go. But it's just gonna be in house. It's gonna be. Well, they're not gonna go third party with all that.
You know what's going on? Yeah, Amanda OLED.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it. So they're gonna do that, and then of course we have the PlayStation, and it's like if you back, we can't even count Nintendo. Nintendo can't do any of this shit.
So
if they were to back out and let's say, all right, well, we're going to keep making all these games, right? Well, then now you have to read their specs and then you have to deal with all that. And what if you have ideas of different things that you want to integrate in a game? No, you can't do that because you're not in control of the hardware. Sony's in control of theirs and Valve has theirs and PC's in the own realm. So it puts them in a bad spot. So even if they didn't want to, they have to. As long as they keep making these games and have a service, they have to have something tied when it comes to hardware. Unless they just say, you know what, we're just going to make a PC. Fuck a console. We're just going to make a PC. Drop the word console, but that's pretty much what it is. And we'll just ride that. And who knows? Maybe that's what this super machine is that they plan on making. And we're going to look at, because if you look at the Series S, that looks like a tower as it is.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a damn computer. You know, they just slapped the word console on it, but so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. And then another thing, Phil Spencer, because again, remember, these Xbox guys were losing the fucking mind. So he said this, he didn't say it directly to them, but I take it that he was saying to them. This is what he said. It's at our foundation, and when we look at future hardware generations and what we're going to support, making sure that we respect, which is the word I use, respect the investments that people have made in Xbox going forward is fundamental. And the fact that you get entitlements when you buy a game from us, both Windows and Xbox, also means you have the ability to play the game across multiple devices, which I think furthers the compatibility of the games that you own. So he's basically saying, it's like, yo, if you've invested in our ecosystem, don't worry, you're good. You didn't waste your money, you know?
Did Sega tweet, like, yo, you throwing jabs at us? You got something to say? Yeah, you go ahead, just say it. Name drop, bitch, because clearly that's what that was, because that's what everybody was fearing, right? That they were going away as Sega, and Sega did that shit. We bought a lot of Sega hardware back in the day, and then it all went to kaput.
Sega CD, 32X, Sega Saturn, Dreamcast,
the Nomad, there's a lot of shit. Yeah, they did a lot of shit, and then next year it was like, oh yeah, we're out. What do you mean you're out? Well, we're out for this gen, not for all of it, all gens. Peace. Thanks.
Yeah, buy our games on Nintendo,
That's it, exactly.
Fucking insane, man. And then the last thing here, this is kind of interesting. So we did talk about this before, though. Xbox plans to release 10 games this year. We don't know the magnitude of the games. No.
I just want Gears. That's all I fuck.
Yeah, because we know Hellblade's coming. Indiana Jones is coming. And we'll see.
What did you guys think of that? I saw a little bit of trailer, but I was like, whatever. Did you guys like it?
Oh, Indiana Jones. I don't give a fuck. I'm done.
No, to be honest, I became uninterested as soon as I saw it was a third person game.
First person.
Yeah, I became uninterested when it was a first person game because I was like,
I think we all knew that.
I mean, obviously it was going to be the Wolfenstein company, but at the same time, it's like you literally have a game out there that's literally if with modders these days, they can literally take that Uncharted game and swap Nathan Drake out for fucking Indiana Jones, and I would be perfect with that.
Uncharted is the Indiana Jones game. That's pretty much it.
So it seems odd that they would decide, okay, yeah, now we're going to do an Indiana Jones game. We're just not going to go down the obvious route.
Yeah, because I think, again, this is just my Tony theory. It's like they didn't want to be directly compared to Uncharted, And also, again, machine games. They make first-person games. So
that's all they have.
That. But my thing is, even though I'm not happy with that camera angle, it's more like I'm just tired of what they've done with Indiana Jones for the last two installments. I'm like, I think I'm good,
I don't know anything. I saw it. I was like, whatever. I mean,
and it's your boy Troy Baker. You love him, don't you?
Troy Baker. We
love Troy Baker. I was like, I like the sound effects. They threw in all the movie sound effects, like the punches and all that, and the whip. And I think you do some third person, right? There were, depending on the weapon.
When you climb, it's like a lot of Deus Ex used to do it, where you go behind cover and stuff like that, and then,
But you know what? This is one of those where people be like, I got Game Pass. I'm not paying no $70 for it. Yeah, I'll play it. Am I going to buy it? No, I'm not buying it. It didn't do anything for it. Again, when I think of an Indiana Jones game, I think Uncharted. I was like, I'd rather just replay one of the Uncharted. Yeah, so, but whatever. It is what it is. All right, so you guys weren't too wild by it.
Yeah, nah, whatever. That direct was kind of like, whatever. All right. So any last thoughts on, today's Xbox business update?
Now, the Xbox fans can calm their jets, play some fucking games and stop listening to their own crazy people's bullshit. Like seriously, this all appeared because of fucking rumors. And rather than say, hey, let's listen to our boy Phil, he's the one that will tell us what's what. No, it just blew out of proportion in one fucking weekend.
Yeah, and it lasted for a week. Throwing
Xboxes out and like having these stupid the Twitter spaces for like hours just yammering on about this, even the prospect of any of this.
It's out of control. I'm hoping that, and I'm waiting for that turning point. Because remember, back in the day, it was all about chat rooms and forums, right? Chat rooms and forums. Everybody living on. And eventually they moved away from that. Mm-hmm. When is that going to happen from this forum where people say, you know what? I can't trust everything that people are bitching about. I can't say, oh, he's a reliable source. What does he do there? He worked there. Where? Then you find out he worked in the mailroom. No, you can't. You just got to say, you know what? I'm going to listen to the horse's mouth for all these companies. I'm not going to go based on, hear the rumors. I'm not going to put any credit to them. I'm like, oh, that's what you think's happening? Whatever. Let's wait till Thursday? Let's see. I'm not going to chime in. I'm not going to cry. There's no need. There's no need because just like something like on Twitter and all this, everybody has a mouth. right? So everybody could say whatever the fuck they want. And if somebody decides to chime in on that shit and retweet it a bunch and they happen to have a big following, then people just say, well, Shane's got a lot of followers. He did this. It must be true. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. It just means that he knows that he's going to get a lot of attention and retweets, so he's going to spread this shit. And then the cycle continues. And then next, you know, everybody, you know, is spreading the big lie. So
just let it go. And the problem is, in a lot of these cases, these same guys that have a big following are consistently wrong. Why are you paying attention to these motherfuckers?
And you know? And there is absolutely no checks and balances for the bullshit that they put out.
No, there aren't. You know,
because there is nothing that said they don't get. They don't be like, oh well, this is like, oh well, move on to the next time. He wasn't right this time. No, motherfucker, you just made a claim and said you were the fucking a source.
Yeah. So these guys didn't backtrack like after this. Like, what are
no,
these
outlets? No, they don't because they're not held accountable to this shit.
Because they, you know? They're not held accountable for the shit. Yet all, you know, some of these motherfuckers are always like, oh well, these journals are always doing all this shit. At least there's a fucking checks and balance. Somebody could fucking lose their job fucking screwing up like this.
Yeah.
Right?
These guys, they get rewarded, you know, for coming up with this shit.
Exactly.
So yeah.
So no, speculation, it seems it's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
It's dumb. All right. If we don't have any more thoughts, I want to jump on PlayStation. Some interesting stuff, you know.
Before you start.
Yeah.
Sean Layton years ago said something that got people utterly pissed that he would even make this assessment about the industry itself. He said, AAA games are too expensive. We really need to lower the budgets of these things so that we can maximize how many titles that we're actually putting out on the field. He said this, and everybody called him fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, look what's happening now.
Yes, look what's happening now.
Very interesting, you know.
And the same shit's happening now with the streaming. Look, they're spending $8 million an episode for Star Trek bullshit and Star Wars stuff, and it's not helping out. It's not helping Disney grow or Paramount, and now they're talking about merging and selling shit. And yeah, he's right. This applies to the games, too. Yeah, it's too much. Too much. Spending too much on one IP is not good.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to – let's talk about Sony because there's some – interesting stuff going on there. And I'm reading this from Kotaku, so please forgive me. So
solo.
You know, Kotaku, bro. Okay, Sony announced its third quarter earnings on February 14th, and they weren't exactly full of glad tidings for PlayStation fans. For starters, the company revealed it doesn't plan to release any new titles in its major franchises for the remainder of 2024. Sony executives also said that its current gen hardware, the PS5, is nearing the end of its life cycle. According to Bloomberg's coverage of the call, because this was their earnings call, so all this is official, you know, the company predicts PS5 sales will slow down in the next fiscal year. That means from April 2024 till March 2025. And this is a quote. Looking ahead, PS5 will enter the latter stage of its life cycle, Sony SVP Naomi Matsuoka said. As such, we'll put more emphasis on balance between profitability and sales. For this reason, we expect the annual pace of PS5 hardware will start falling from the next fiscal year. And I believe they originally were predicting to sell 25 million PlayStations this year, but now they're pulling it back. Now they predict to sell 21 million, you know, this year. Very interesting. But the comment that everybody latched on to is that PlayStation is now, and PS5 has entered the latter half of its life cycle. People are fucking pissed. Brian, before I get to my little thing here, what did you want to say about that?
It's just shock. Like, I when I read that, I was like, no, that's not right. I mean, the PS5 came out like a couple of years ago, right? And had a couple of games. And then I went on the Wikipedia page and that stuff is empty. That stuff is empty. It has remakes and remasters and stuff like that. And it's like, wow. And VR games as well. It's like, it's padded with the VR games. And it's like, that's a shock. It's like, how on earth has the PS5 not had any games? And I look back and it's like, yeah, it's not. And I actually fear that this gen may actually be worse than last gen somehow. And that gen was bad. Mm-hmm. And then looking back, it's like, well, that gen was worse than the previous gen. And I was like, and then it dawned on me, is this how things are going to go? Like, next gen will somehow be worse than this? Like, no, that can't be. But then we look at how things are, and it's like, possibly.
Next gen will have two games.
So they're going to be cross-gen.
I rush.
Yeah, but I want to give a quick shout-out to the guys in the Discord. Because, you know, there was a snowstorm this week, so I work from home a lot. And I was just talking to the guys in between breaks and stuff. And we all kind of agreed it's like the PS3 era, Xbox 360 era, was probably the last really good fucking gen that we had. It's all been downhill.
In a lot of ways, I mean, come on, like you talk about, you know, that is the legitimate first generation to reach into the HD section.
Yeah.
Right.
Multiplayer, first one to really bring that.
Multiplayer, all of that sort of stuff. But I think, again, like we're talking about fidelity, we're talking about larger games, we're talking about a lot of these sorts of things that are essentially causing these things to balloon. You know,
yeah.
But look in that, PS3 Xbox era. What was that? The age of the 6-hour game. Remember those things, right?
Yeah. No, we had that in there. We had indie games too. That's when indie games really started coming up. So we had a good balance.
That's when they figured out they could bolster all their titles by throwing a bunch of filler in indie games in between there.
Yeah, that was a good point. But by the way, I got in trouble for this on Twitter. It's funny how I fluctuate. Xbox guys hated me last week. Now the ponies hate me this week.
Oh, you know? They hate you this week? Yeah, what'd you do this time, man?
Okay, a couple of things. So with the latter half comment, people were very mad about that. But I was like, hold on. Let's look at this. PS3 lasted 7 years, right? PS3 era. Yes. PS4 lasted 7 years, right? If we go by that, in a couple of months, PS5 will be 3.5 years in. So we actually are literally entering the latter half of the console cycle, right? So I'm like, what this guy just said isn't incorrect.
Let me finish.
But I understand where the sentiment's coming from, because this generation just finally got some fucking steam last year, you know, because since Brian said, since 2020, we haven't had shit, really, you know. So it's like, if this console cycle is going to last from 2020 to 2026, 2027, yes, we will be entering the latter half literally in like 3 months. Go ahead, Brett.
But that's not what he said. He said the latter stages. And I'm not saying that they don't mean the same thing. I'm just saying they don't necessarily mean the same thing.
Okay, explain it, because to me, I don't see the difference.
Latter stages doesn't necessarily mean, you know, 51%. It can be, but it could also mean much later than that. Like, it could be two-thirds of the way through. Latter stages is such an ambiguous term, which is why I'm kind of curious what like the original translation was, because like, yes, latter half could be like, they've just passed the halfway point, but it could also mean we're in the sunset phase of PlayStation 5.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
Brett, you're right. To be fair, he did. The translation says latter stage. So you're right about that. It's a little bit more ambiguous.
If you look at game development time, right. And if 7 years, if we have 7 years, right, we're in like the third year, right? A lot of 5 years is usually the usual time.
Remember though, I literally just said PS3 and PS4 were 7 years.
No. Yeah. I'm sorry. Okay, so they're like, again, like we're, you know, they're saying the round of time is like the latter half, 7 years, right?
Yeah.
At this point in time, 5 years, right, and within year three. That would mean that games that would have for the next generation would have to start already developing.
Yeah, and that's something I discussed with the guys too. Like, oh, maybe something's going to come in at we would have known about that already. To your point, since these games take so long to develop, we would have already heard about that.
The opposite. I want to throw out, like, it's more likely that they're looking at what games are coming down the pipeline and using that to decide where the cutoff should be, and then like what games will be pushed off until the next generation to make for a strong launch lineup. Because they're not stupid. They know the same thing that we're all talking about. It's like there haven't been a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And so I virtually guarantee, because kind of just feels like Sony, they're sitting there being like, okay, well, now knowing that people feel that, what if we release the PS6 with a strong launch lineup? So we push back some of the tail end PS5 games so that when PS6 comes out, we can be like, look what a strong launch lineup. This system is going to have games. Like, it's the underhanded move, but it's also kind of the smart move. I mean,
they already have to start preparing for the next console already.
That's why I don't think Death Stranding is going to be on PS5. I think it's going to be on
PS6. I know.
Here's the thing. I think
the next Final Fantasy Remake 3, that's probably going to be on PS6.
No, I don't think. You know? I mean, here's the thing. They didn't say. They said first
party. Sorry, Brett.
They also said.
No, you're just right.
They also said first party, right?
Well, that's the other statement we're going to get to. But
They also said the first party. So Death Stranding 2, that's still coming out in 2025. There's a date.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, because they said we're not going to get any more games, new games until, you know, first party games from April 2024 to March 2025. So, yes, after that, yes.
After that.
So you're right about that. But that's good. Y'all think about it. That's going to be another dry motherfucking year.
Here's the thing. They didn't say new title. They said new titles within established franchises.
Yeah.
Like God of War. So we're not going to see a sequel for Spider-Man. We're not going to see God of War? We're not going to see Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. What is going to be there?
We don't know. No new IPs, that's for sure. They specifically said that. Real quick, I'll get to you in a sec. Jay Shep says, how do they expect to sell the PS4 Pro with no games? Remember, the PS4 Pro, that's not official yet. PS5 Pro, that's not official yet, so we can't say. Although it's a great it is a great question.
Well, you know? Go ahead. I would like to answer that question.
Yeah.
They'll just release The Last of Us 2 remastered for PS5 Pro. There you go.
Yeah, you're right.
Running as intended.
Oh, right, yeah, running as I always imagined. Anyway, Chris,
exclusive.
Yeah.
Only playable on the PS5.
How many fucking games are the remaster?
It's a remaster.
Oh, my God.
You don't understand. It's a remaster. They mastered it again.
Yeah, it's a remastered. Remaster, Brett. Oh man, Chris, what's up, man?
I was just gonna say, is this next gen gonna end up like this one with the cross generational?
I was gonna bring up
output. That one, yep. Like how if we have a repeat, like Brian said, we seem to be on a decline, right?
Yeah.
So will that cross gen publishing get worse?
Yeah.
Right. Not locked down. Like it would benefit them to do that, but I don't know, man. You know, it's like you have to get a new console off the ground. You have a year gap where you're saying we're not launching any new IPs or first party titles for a year, so you have diminished interest. Then you're going to announce a new system
potentially.
Then you have to sell it, right? You have to sell it on something. If you sell it on new titles and then you have whatever, 120 million, whatever, PS5s in the wild, and you're just saying, like, well, you get nothing. That's not a good look.
54.7 million PlayStation.
Oh, 50. Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, 54 million. Sorry, I've been looking at Nintendo numbers.
They're 139, yeah.
They're 139, yeah. But still, you can't tell all those active subscribers, whatever. You wait, and then, okay, now buy this thing. Like that's not a good strategy.
Yeah.
So they're kind of stuck.
I agree. Obviously this led to me, you know, thinking about what I've been screaming about this whole fucking generation. You know, as you said, this is the worst generation we've seen so far, you know? And I think at this trajectory, I think we may even consider it the lost generation, because what game has defined this generation? For any console,
can I add a stipulation to all of this?
Sure.
So that exact question, Tony, with saying Elden Ring and God of War Ragnarok are PS4 games.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring it up, because I was like, if somebody answers one of those games, that proves my point about this generation, that the one of the biggest games of this generation that we all loved, you know, for most of us here, fucking Elden Ring, fantastic. That's a PS4 game. That's a problem, that there is no defining current gen game at all for any system. You know, this generation sucks, man. You know, again, I hate to be pessimist Polanco, but it's the fucking truth. You know, there's we had 2022. There was nothing for both systems. No new game for that specific hardware. Right. Nothing. What about God of War Ragnarok? That was on PS4. You know?
Horizon, no, Hugo, calm down. No, he's not talking bad about you. Just relax. He's not saying nothing. Listen. Do I have to mute? Are you okay? Oh, shit. I didn't mute.
My apologies to Hugo. You know?
Yeah.
But it's been fucking whack. If you're a P. Here's the thing. Again, because I always got to keep repeating this shit. Yes. PlayStation has had more exclusives than Xbox, but most of the exclusives are also on PS4, man. You know, this is fucking whack generation. This is part of why I've lost a lot of my passion for gaming. This fucking generation, you know,
Do you think it's just hard enough to wow us? You know, like you said, like, 360, the 360 PS3, we were wowed by like not just the games, but just the performance and the new features of talking to people and chats and stuff on the consoles. Now that I have to do it on the computer. And we've had a lot of that. And we've had PS4, had a lot of great games and stuff. Xbox had one game or some bullshit, but it doesn't matter because now we have nothing to really wow us. So. Yeah. You're right, I think because we're stuck.
Yeah, the advent of HD, I think, was the last big technological thing that we got, you know? Like, that was huge, you know? But after that, diminishing returns, you know? Yes, games that came out at the end of the PS4 life cycle looked better than the original ones, but it was a very gradual thing. Remember back in the day, man, you knew when the fucking new generation starts, like, oh, shit, I've never seen anything like this before. We're getting diminishing returns. You know,
They're not trying.
They're not pushing. Yeah, go ahead.
They're not pushing out hardware that pushes that envelope, and they're not designing games that are new or intuitive. I mean, fuck, even the idea of like the whole battle royale survival genre, which is the most innovative thing that's happened in the last, I don't know, since I started the fucking podcast, started with a fucking mod. DayZ, remember, I was there.
Yes.
That shit started like with a mod. That wasn't even a development that the gaming industry made and caught on. That was something homebrewed within the basements of fucking sweaty tryhards that they just ended up fucking stealing and making millions of dollars on. So, like, even the biggest innovation in gaming didn't come from the people who make your video games. It was just stolen by them. They're not fucking trying to do anything new. And I get that video games are fucking expensive, but maybe try releasing some smaller, more experimental games. Like, it's... You cannot sit in this point and stagnate. And even then, like, if you're going to put so much money into a game and are going to make sure that it is well-liked, for fuck's sake, maybe fucking listen to your audience instead of listening to what developers assume the audience is too dumb to fucking ask for, right? So, like when Elden Ring is keying off and developers are being like, well, you can't really trust people not to go off the beaten path because they won't find the content. And blah, blah, blah. And this is why gamers are wrong. When you have developers telling gamers why they're wrong for developing video games, like, that is a bigger problem to me than games are expensive. Because if you're just, like, having these people thinking they know better than their audience, and that's why they're making another fucking Assassin's Creed, and then making a surprise fucking Pikachu face when it doesn't make millions of fucking dollars, that's not our fault. That's their fault for, like, A, not being willing to take a risk, and B, not even listening to the audience, so they're kind of taking a risk by just doing whatever the fuck they want to begin with anyway.
Yeah. This is, I don't think this is good news for PlayStation, but it's also not expected, you know? And the other thing I wanted to bring up with regards to this is, like, the company has coasted this generation because Xbox hasn't provided enough proper competition. You know, people worried like, oh, we don't want complacent Sony. You've had that for a whole fucking generation. This is what you get. Remasters and remakes. Yay.
And, you know? And by the way, Tony, when you ask a run-of-the-mill, not even a fanboy, but just a PlayStation fan, you know, online or our friends, some friends that we know, it's like, you're talking about like all of this and all our complaints with PlayStation not releasing significant amount of games every year to sustain sort of our usefulness of the PlayStation 5, they'll be like, well, there's nothing wrong. You know, they've sold over 50-something million consoles. And then they attribute, like, whatever our enjoyment is of these games and PlayStation to freaking console sales. Like, if it matters even one bit, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so again,
and
go ahead.
And I always mention this. I've been mentioning this more recently than before, but I mention this at least once a year. I started Throwdown being the negative Polanco here.
Yeah, talking about pessimist Polanco.
Pessimist that Polanco.
Alliteration, you know.
I started off as a pessimist Polanco on the show because the generation, last generation, started with all these remasters and people were hyped about these remasters. And then I'm like, yo, this is not good. And unfortunately, that trend exasperated through this generation, and it's gotten even worse. And now we're just here sitting in our gaming chairs with our RGB lights wondering about when the hell the next PlayStation game is going to come out.
Yeah. It's a sad state sitting of affairs, man.
The color RGB of hopelessness chair. Is rainbow.
Yes.
Into the flood again.
Oh, man. So yeah, there you go.
I would bring one thing, and Brett said it. He literally brought it back to what I said before we even started about this thing.
Bringing it around.
Brought it right back around. Thing is, like, they really to really be able to have all those sorts of titles out there, it needs to be a balance, not only between the big budget super games, but also games that are smaller experiences. That's the big difference between the previous generations and this one. Slowly but surely, as the years have gone on, those smaller sort of experiences sort of like squeezed up and then disappeared, and then they essentially go closing down studios who used to do those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, you can't everything can't. Here's the thing: if PlayStation was a movie studio, everything that they make cannot be always be a blockbuster. You still need to be able to produce films that may have a really good ideas, but they're not $1 billion films, smaller films. And then those, when you start out, you don't have a lot of investment in it. You know, it's enough to just say, okay, yeah, we will put this out there and maybe it'll explode into something, or maybe it won't. We didn't spend a lot of money on that thing anyway. That's the same thing in gaming too, where, you know, you have a smaller experience, and if it does hit, you know, like, all right, yeah, we'll just give it a little bit more money. All right, yeah, this one seems to be working. Let's give it a little bit more. Don't just start off throwing all this fucking money at something and say, well, this better be good, because all those big budget things, well, once they start hitting those big budgets that they didn't earn that other part of it, you know, earn their way up, then it becomes stagnant gaming, where, in other words, it doesn't do anything. It just does what everything else is doing, just maybe slightly more polished than the last.
Yeah. The problem is, and this is a problem that the gaming industry and the movie industry has, right? There's the big blockbusters, there's the indie stuff, and there's nothing in the middle anymore.
What, you didn't like Madam Web?
Yeah, Madam Dead, you mean? Nobody wants to see that shit. Have you seen
Get Out?
Yeah, have you seen the memes of empty movie theaters? It's fucking hilarious. But yeah, again, we always talk about those AA games don't really exist anymore.
They don't exist anymore.
You either have the thing about it. Because again, I said this too at the beginning. If you're into indie games, you've been eating well this generation. They've been serving you up. They've been a lot of indie games that have done very, very well, right? But that's the thing. It's like, you have that, you have the blockbusters, and then nothing in the middle. You know,
so like,
yes, it did come out. Jay Shep, Madam Web is out.
would you consider then Power World to be indie?
It's an indie game.
Yeah, it would be indie. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But obviously it's pulling in fucking AAA numbers now.
It's pulling AAA money, but they didn't spend AAA money to make that game.
Yeah, yeah.
They spent $7 million on it, which
that's not AAA at all.
No, that is
no. That might. I was asking if it was AA.
No, it's not AA.
It's not even AA.
No, it's not. It's indie. Yeah, which is crazy if you think about it.
Wait, how much?
$7 million. That's like catering for Spider-Man, you know?
They got a huge return off of that investment.
Huge. Yeah.
If they sold each copy for 50 cents, they would have made a profit. It's fucking ridiculous.
That's right. Oh, man. All right, so there's that. Hey, Chris, do you have any financials for us tonight? Or anything you want to bring up with Nintendo? Because you mentioned them earlier.
Yeah, no, I didn't have much of a chance to do the conversions that I wanted to. I mean, yeah. I read the report. I read the kind of financial phone call and asked a bunch of questions. And the short version is the hardware sales are on the decline. Software is on the decline. But they had a huge boost in mobile revenue. And they attribute that a lot to the Mario movie, actually.
Hmm.
They said that the Mario movie spawned interest in the Mario mobile titles. So they had a huge boost in mobile sales. And also they have a lot more things coming forward with IP sales. So I'm assuming it's licensing. And specifically with the Universal deal. So they're opening another part of Universal Japan. I think they're putting Donkey Kong Country there. And in 2025, Epic Universe is supposed to open in Florida. Yep. And that has a Super Nintendo World. So they're seeing a boost in revenue from merch licensing and Universal deals. And there was one question an investor had about the Zelda movie. And I'll make Manny laugh. Manny, guess who's the American producer? Yep.
Oh, no.
That son of a bitch.
Oh, no. That motherfucker worked his way into that shit. But he's been trying to work in the games, game films for a long fucking time. He had another company that was investing in a bunch of titles. And I think David Hayter wrote a couple of different movies for that studio.
Everything he touches, he's like the Phil Harrison of film, man. he jumps around. Power Rangers was fucked up. Everything he does is fucked up. I was like hyped for this movie, and I was like, went to him?
Yeah, you went to him. No. And you want to know why they went to him? Because of the resume of the successes he's had. He has the first, the Fierce Feast, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man films. He's got Spider-Verse in there because he's still on that fucking shit too.
Wow.
You know, Iron Man and a bunch of other things that he has his fucking name on.
Oh, but he has his name on so many failures. He's had direct involvement with the failures. Like, the stuff he has his name on, he didn't really have input, and he just was part of it.
Here's the thing, nobody outside of, people who are in the know, like, a bunch of idiot investors who don't know shit from anything, right? They just hear these names, they hear these words, and they're like, oh, he did a bunch, he worked on a bunch of things that I heard of.
Yeah, well, I mean, this to me gives me a must faith, as if Miyamoto went to Alex Kurtzman and Bad Robot for the Zelda movie.
You know, here's a fun one. He's also involved with the Metal Gear movie, which has been in development limbo for years too.
Oh, that's a good sign.
Remember that one?
Yeah,
that's him too.
Anyway, so that came up, and there's a bunch of other unnamed movies they're working on. So Nintendo they're still very much focused on the game business, and that's a huge part of their revenue. So don't get that slanted. There's rumors with the next Switch. I don't know. There was nothing brought up. They use very flowery language to just say, hey, we will have future updates. So please keep informed of what we do. You know, they're not answering any questions about it. So all we have is rumors. So I don't know what's going on with the next Switch, or if it's even a Switch or whatever it is. But they are very focused on that. But they also have put a lot of attention on what they call visual content. And that's all the IP stuff outside of games. So leveraging the IPs in film, TV, potentially other stuff, and the parks, the Universal deal with having the characters in the park. So that they're very much focused on now. And then you have a cycle of interest, right? So you have people who are not gamers, who they're hoping they'll snag the IP because they've heard of it. They'll get into Mario, whatever. They'll watch a movie, right? And then they'll go to Universal and get the parks, and maybe that'll spurn their interest in other stuff. So it's a very smart maneuver to diversify themselves, and it seems to be working out well, right? The Mario movie did very well. That was a big earnings generator. They're cut from Illumination, so that did well, and I talked about that in the last financial, but it's spurning other things that I didn't think it would. Like, it spurned mobile sales of the Mario Runner game and other things. So that's helping them. So their strategy there is working. So we'll see how that goes. So they have something to buffet them, because before, when it was just video games, they had two systems. Nintendo had their handheld and their console. That's not the case anymore. Their handheld is their console. So they only have one avenue to go down with gaming. If the hardware fails, if you have another Wii U situation with their system, they have nothing else to fall back on. There's no 3DS to hold them up, right? So they need something else. And this is what their something else is. It's spurning on their IP licensing.
Leveraging their IP.
Yeah.
Which is what we said they should do. Yeah. It's been for years. They have been sort of, you know, like being, you know, gun shy with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. Anything else, Chris, about Nintendo?
Yeah. Wait a second. Hold on. Let me.
Yeah. While you're doing that, by the way, I didn't realize. The Dice Awards are happening right now.
Dice on.
Yeah. All right. Here's some financial news.
Yeah. So, the sales there's net sales and operating profit are up year over year from last year in the same 9-month period. But that is not coming from hardware. I'll show you. So you have this boost. If you look at this breakdown here, I have the slide open. I'm sorry, this is the Japanese numbers. I have a few of these translated to US dollars, and you can see the 9-month period for fiscal year 2023. So you're talking about $8.625 billion U.S. dollars. I had to do the conversions. But this period, 9 months, in this fiscal year, you're talking about $9.829 billion, right? So that's a big increase in revenue. And then I was like, okay, so where is that coming from? Well, just a small, you had a little bit of boost in the with the platforms, but not hardware. Hardware is declining, but they did have good, strong software sales. So you had a boost in that. But the big one, if you look at this, they had a 93.4% increase in mobile and IP-related income from the same period last year. And then it didn't explain it in this perspective. This is just a summary. So I had to go to the Q&A. And the Q&A, it was interesting. They said it was the Super Mario Brothers movie being a hit that was driving people to to actually purchase the mobile games and then invest in other things. So it's like, oh, that's pretty interesting. So this strategy of leveraging their IPs and the movies is boosting sales. So that's where a lot of it is coming from. It's funny enough, the playing cards sales have spiked. I don't know if that's also because of the movie. I'm not sure, but that's Japanese thing. So
people want to use their Hanafuda cards,
right? But it's funny because that's been their business for 100 and something years, as long as they've existed. So
There's actually a fascinating documentary about their Hanafuda business and how there was a lot of shady people involved with them. and then trying to sort of break those ties. Literally people showing up at their factory saying that their freaking cards are cheating in their games and threatening the people at the factory and shit. Stuff like that.
Shit.
That's pretty nuts. Don't want to mess with that stuff. We're not going to make any Yakuza connection.
We're not talking about the fun Yakuza. Not the games.
But so you can see here, this was their hardware breakdown in sales from the same period, the last fiscal year to this one. So it's almost an 8% decrease in hardware sales overall. Very much a huge dip, 34.9% for the original Switch. But the OLED and the Switch Lite, funny enough, went up. Their sales went up. So the Switch obviously is phased out, right? OLED, and I don't know why they didn't just make the OLED the default system, right? So they were still selling the other ones, but those couple enough people are opting, if they're getting into the system, they're just getting into the OLED. I guess a lot of people are still buying the Switch Lite, but, you know, like Adam said, you know, you have kids and stuff, you'll just get that one and give it to them. And software has had overall decline, but in terms of net sales, overall, they're doing better. So they've actually adjusted their financial forecast. So by the end of this fiscal year, which is March 31st, they've modified their forecast up 3.2% for their net sales, 2% for their operating profit, you know, 3.3% it's ordinary profit. That's all operating profits, obviously. Everything ordinary is pre-tax stuff. So net almost 5% increase. They're seeing an increase in OLED and light sales, so they modified the hardware forecast. They increased their software forecast, funny enough, even though it's dropping. And I didn't understand
they probably know something's coming, and they think that's what
launch something. You launched Mario and you launched Zelda, so I don't know what else could come out.
Pokemon!
they did that already. And Pokemon, they always launch on the holidays, and they just did an update to Scarlet and Violet, so I don't know what it is, but yeah, they uptrended everything for their forecast. And with software, you know, decreasing, I was like, that's an interesting maneuver, but we'll see. It's a forecast, so they could just be fluffing up the investors and then they'll correct it later, but who cares. But overall, they're doing pretty well. I would say it was a very smart move to start diversifying themselves. The deal with Universal is panning out in the best way possible for them, so they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, there you go. Did you look into the Sony financials by any chance?
Not yet. I will for Sunday. Please ask, and I'll get those.
So I'm pretty sure somebody would ask. All right, man. That's going to do it for us. A very packed week. Maybe things will slow down, but we don't want to slow down. We always like bringing you the news, you know? So that's going to start wrapping us up. But before that, I want to make a very special announcement with regard to Throwdown, man. As you know, Rich has been here hanging out with us all night, and this will be something that's actually going to be permanent, people. We have talked. Rich is family. You know, he's great addition to Throwdown, so he will be a permanent member of Throwdown moving forward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, Rich, if you want to say anything to the fans, you know, the floor is yours.
Welcome.
First and foremost, thank you all. I consider all of you brothers. I very much enjoy being on the show, talking about all this gaming stuff. And obviously, there's a couple of different events I'll be going to this year. So I look forward to being able to talk about some of that stuff as I get a chance to go to that. But yeah, always enjoy coming on the show. And of course, all the fans of the show. Yeah, I know they have requested that I come on sometimes to answer some questions. So yeah, I will be on here regularly now. So should be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, for you guys who don't know, like Rich played a very pivotal role with this podcast, especially bringing it back, because we were, you know, with Torrance Davis, who was, you know, shout out to him. He was on last week. And, you know, after we left SCFU and Play, we needed a new home for the podcast. Rich, who was already a big friend of ours before that. Rich, I've known you for over 10 years. Isn't that something? It's fucking crazy. Dang. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, you were very, very gracious enough to host Throwdown for many years, you know, to get us going again. And, you know, yeah, like you said, always been family. That's kind of the criteria for Throwdown members, is like, we just bring in family. We don't just bring in just random motherfuckers, you know? So it's going to be
everybody,
great, man.
Everybody who's ever showed up on the show has always been somebody who's always been either friends or part of our groups and all kinds of stuff like that, you know.
Or literal family,
like, you know,
like
Adam, like, motherfuckers in, you know.
And like even back to like that from, you know, the cold stuff, the blog days. I mean, it was you know, all of us who were on Throwdown is, you know, Tony, myself, Chris, Adam, you know, just doing that sort of stuff, and it sort of just evolved into the show now.
Yeah, it evolved from that, you know, like, because the original Throwdown, it was me, Brian, Riku's son, and Heart Jess. Shout out to Heart Jess. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we eventually, and then, remember her, and then Manny, you eventually came on. Then, Rachel was on. She was like, hey, my husband knows about this shit. We had Brett on. I was like, this motherfucker's cool. He's on the podcast now. So it just kept going and going and going, man. It's been an interesting ride for sure, you know. So Rich, I know you're gonna, you know, enrich his podcast, you know, your knowledge, and you know, especially, you know, what you know about the gaming industry. You're more in tune with it now than I am, because I'm not officially in the gaming industry, so you could, you know, help fill in that gap, you know. So it's gonna be very
Richard, not for nothing, it just the mere mention of Richard's name to. And you know, like especially when we used to do more media, that I mean, Rich has a very good reputation with all the people.
Yeah, I'll tell a quick story, man. I remember the first year I went to E3 with the Coalition, which I believe was 2014. Right, I actually did not get invited. Like officially to the PlayStation event that year. So I went there, you know, try to see if I can get in. As soon as I dropped Richard's name, like, oh, Richard? I love Richard. Let me see. 5 minutes later, I was in. Like that's power right there, you know? And Rich, everybody I've talked, you know, every time I brought your name up, nothing but good things have been said about you, which, you know, goes to show, you know, kind of character you are. Like, you know, you're very, you know, honest dude, people respect that, they see that, and there's a reason.
Professional.
It's like, you know, those things are very useful, you know. And again, one thing with Throwdown is like, I like the fact that we have a mix of not only like, you know, even though I, you know, if we think about it, we're all kind of professional podcasters, you know, but we have a mix of like, you know, guys who are like in the industry and then super fans and stuff. So it's great, but we're all super fans at the end of the day, you know. So it's gonna be dope, man. It's gonna be dope. So welcome, sir, you know, and this also means now we have effectively like a fourth co-host. So if me and Manny are, which we actually will be next Thursday, you and Carlos can just run this ship, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So that'll be dope, you know, and that's going to do it for that. Adam, I don't know if you wanted to say anything to the fans.
Yeah, just want to thank everybody, you know, thanks for the support and here, and you know, it's, we've talked about before, I mean, it's not a big deal, but you know, I have a family, I got kids, I got all stuff, so things, there's other things outside in the world that just pull me away from doing all this type of stuff all the time. I mean, been doing this with you guys like almost 9 years or something like that, with 2015 and stuff, so it's been a long time, you know, and a lot happened during that time. A lot of changes in life and other responsibilities come into play, and no longer have some of that leisure time that I usually used to say was my nighttime, and that's going away. But it's all right, you know, and, you know, I'll still pop up, you know, from time to time. I may not be here, like, all the time because of whatever issues, but I'll still be here. I'm still listening. I'm still playing games, still working on the Coalition, doing reviews. Rich and I are working on this Helldivers 2, testing out the crossplay. I'm going to be playing on the Steam Deck. He's going to be playing on a PS5, see if the servers even work, because that's been a whole other issue. Yeah, it's like, oh, I can't wait to play this game. And then it's like server problems. It's like, there's always something. There's always something. But yeah, that's it. So, you know,
it took an hour and 40 minutes.
Yeah, you gotta have something.
There's always some bullshit, you know, and then that's it. And I might as well do the segue because we're going to do it anyway. I Am Negan is back.
Oh, shit.
Walking Dead is back this week.
Oh, no, wrong one.
Wait, if it's
Fear,
yes.
Fear is done. That is done. This is what some of the diehards have been waiting for, only because they like Rick and Michonne. Yes. Mm-hmm. So we are going to be breaking that down. Rich and I, we watched it. I'm going to watch it again. We're going to watch it with Carlos and then really come up with a good verdict on this, because I'm a little iffy with all of it, but it was only the first. We'll see. But yeah, so that'll be back over on the Coalition, on the YouTube's Coalition, so we'll be covering that. So if you're interested, it's I Am Negan on Spotify, iTunes, and stuff, and that's what's up.
Yeah, man. And the other thing I want to say is like, yeah, Adam, like, obviously, you know, we understand you got life stuff going on, but it's been absolutely awesome having you on Throwdown all this time. It's like you, because you bring in that kind of other perspective that we didn't have, like, especially with the, when it comes to Call of Duty and shit, like, you know, it's like, that's one of the biggest games of the year. Nobody on a podcast gave a fuck about it, but you did, you know, so you brought that and then your love for sports games, for handhelds and shit, you know, but, and obviously, you know, like you said, your family, the door is always open when you want to be on. Just like, let me know, Tony, I'm going to be on tonight. I got to talk some shit, you know, kind of like Torrance has that privilege. Like, I got to get on, you know, but it's good stuff. But yeah, if, you know, if you want to keep hearing Adam, he will be on the Walking Dead podcast talking shit, you know, which will be fun. Stay tuned for that, man. So yeah, you know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. Throwdown, we will still be coming to you twice a week, you know, for 50 weeks out of the year, you know. We don't stop, can't stop, won't stop. You know? Go ahead, Rich.
Yes, I do want to make a quick comment because I know I got to put you on the spot, Tony.
Uh-oh.
All the Throwdown fans, just so you know, Mr. Polanco's birthday is today.
This is
so,
true.
Yes, boy.
26.
26 years old.
Nice. Oh, is that what's happening now? You're going back?
According to Adam, you know? Yeah, thanks. Thanks a lot, man. Yo, this is how crazy I am, because I was considering, like, yo, should I take a day off work? And I'm like, nah, I'd rather work, you know? It's like, that's how you know I like my job, you know? But yeah, no, you know, 44 years around the sun. Very happy to be even numbered again. I hate the odd number years, you know? Like, next year I'll be mad. I'm like, fuck, 45, fuck. Then when I'm 46, I'll be happy, you know?
I'm 46. I'm not happy. Yeah. because think about it. I've now hit the half. When we always say, oh, in school, round off to the nearest five. I just passed that five. Now I'm rounding to 50.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I was thinking about that, too. I mean, I was like, yo, I'm closer to 50 than I was to 40. Yeah. What the fuck? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting, man. But, you know, it's funny, it's going back a little bit, right? Some personal shit. Like when I was hitting 40, I was talking to my boy Jeffrey, and I was like, man, like, I wish I could be 30 again. He looked at me, he's like, do you really want to be 30 again? I thought about it, like, no, fuck that. I'm happier now at 40 than I was at 30. 30, I was fucking miserable. You know, it's like, oh, fuck, 30 years old, what the fuck? Now I'm like, damn, man, 40 years old, shit is good, you know? So I ain't complaining about that. You know, got my health, got my mind. So it's going to be good stuff, man. So, I'm not sure if I'm going to be doing anything, cause I'm also at that age where I'm like, that's another birthday. You know, I can't
get, I mean, you already hit the big one. You hit 40.
I hit 40.
That was the one that you did it big. So
yeah. New Orleans, I mean, you know, Carlos, man, 50, man, just going to Japan, you know?
Oh, let's go.
Let's do something crazy. I'm
booking tickets right now.
Yeah, yeah, you're right, man. It's like, I gotta do something crazy every 10 years, you know?
Yeah, you gotta do it 10 years. So, yeah, let's go and do something like that.
Yeah, good stuff, man. All right, that's another one for us. Did we plug everything we needed to? I think we got everything. Again, Invincible Podcast, we'll be back in a month, people. It's gonna be dope. You know, we're going to talk about the latter half of the season. I believe I believe they released a new trailer today, too. I didn't get a chance to see it. Lots of trailers going on this week. I don't know what the, I guess because
well, you know what it is. It's the end of the fiscal year. So every single one of these companies want to show that they got something going so to keep their investors happy. So that's true. Why we're getting all that shit dropped today. On Valentine's Day, we get the announcement of the Fantastic Four and artwork of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, X-Men today, you know.
By the way, been hearing good things about Dune 2.
Excuse me? Oh, by the way, Carlos, every time I leave work now, like on Times Square, the big fucking Dune poster.
It's calling you, man. It's like.
Maybe it's calling us, man. We going, you know. Yep. Seeing that Dunes. You know? All right, man. So that's going to do it for another episode of Throwdown. Make sure you follow us on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord with the conversations in the room where we're popping, especially this week. Conversations have definitely been popping. So shout out to you guys, you know? We are also on every podcast app on the planet, Throwdown Show. That's two words, Throwdown Show. throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And again, we are now back live on YouTube, people. So if you like the video, make sure you hit like, subscribe, and be notified of when we go live every Thursday and Sunday night at 10:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and on Twitch, man. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Carlos Romero.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Chris Seeley.
That's my line.
See, it's stealing your shit, you know?
Yo, I was like, but Chris goes before me, so I got confused. Yeah. I'm like, this is what's supposed to go next, Chris, right?
Haven't been on so long, I'm used to say Carlos's name now, you know?
Deuces.
Yeah.
I'm just stealing
somebody else's shit. Wait a minute, Brett's like, what happened here?
No, I still got a show down. Fine, whatever.
Yeah. Obviously, Brett Murdoch.
Peace.
Adam Vail.
Have a good week, everybody. And it's a 3-day weekend, right? People celebrating El Presidente's Day. If you can, find some El Presidente beers. The Dominican beer is pretty tasty. Go celebrate. You know.
Yo, I was telling this British cat I work with about the finer points of Dominican delicacy, you know. I was like, it's just a bunch of fried shit, bro. It was like, have some mango. Richard Bailey Jr., our newest member of Throwdown.
Only 4 games for now.
And of course, Brian Manjoma.
I just found out that you can do drive-bys in Pal World.
Oh shit.
Oh.
It's on now, man. It's on now. All right, guys.
Nintendo going to sue him for that too?
Yeah, we'll see about that, cuz apparently Nintendo's investigating. You know what that
We'll see means. About that.
Crazy. All right, guys, we'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.
Later.